As Congress prepares to battle over the newly enacted health care reform law, Alaskan health care professionals and reform advocates are working to highlight what they see as the benefits of the federal overhaul. At a forum sponsored by the Alaska Public Health Association last week in Anchorage, AARP Advocacy Director Pat Luby said the reform will be especially beneficial for 60% of AARP members who are under age 65 and still in the workplace. Luby said 20% of Alaskans between 50 and 64 have no health insurance.
And in that group, they're the ones who are most likely to have some type of a health problem that may be associated with aging.
Luby says far too many elders think that long-term care, whether in a nursing home or at home, will be paid for by Medicare once they reach age 65.
Medicare doesn't. And because of that, this is one of the glaring holes that we still have in our health care system. The Medicaid program is the one that ends up picking up the tab, basically, for long-term care. And that's only after people have exhausted their own resources and spent down so that that they are now eligible for Medicaid.
He says nursing home care averages $400 to $500 a day in Alaska. Luby says perhaps surprisingly, the primary opponents of health care reform are AARP members.
Older people seem to be basically concerned about the fact that if everybody got health care, they were going to lose something from the Medicare coverage that they had. And frankly, they were susceptible to a lot of the rumors that were around health care. 30% of older people today still think that we have death panels.
Dr. Tom Hunt is the CEO for Physician Services at Providence Health and Services in Alaska. He says the rhetoric and scare tactics swirling around what should be serious, respectful dialogue about someone's final days has been unfortunate. His group wants to lead with a coherent approach to end-of-life discussions.
And we're hopeful that we'll be able to do a good job communicating that effort such that it's not about death panels, it's about compassion and respect. And let's not be disingenuous, too. It's about providing value for healthcare because we spend a lot of money inappropriately maintaining life when everybody else wanted to finish it. So I think we're going to try to lead with that so that we can make this about a values-based decision and not about death panels and denial.
The need for more physicians in primary care was also highlighted. Shelley Hughes is the Government Affairs Director for the Alaska Primary Care Association. She says in other countries, primary care is huge, specialized care is small, and patients have better outcomes. She says the U.S. government should invest in primary care and provide incentives for students.
They get in that third year of medical school, and all of a sudden they had a heart to do primary care. And then they start looking at their student loans and they realize I can make $600,000 as a dermatologist, I'm going to make $150,000 as a primary care doc, and they switch. And so now we have a very small fraction going into primary care. That again is another appropriate role of the government to provide some incentives to get folks into primary care, to allow the mid-level practitioners to work up to their full potential.
Other benefits touted by the panel were the elimination of insurance companies rejecting someone for a pre-existing condition. Lifetime caps for medical expenses were also eliminated under the reform package. Children with severe diseases, such as leukemia, were hitting those limits as early as age 12.